Hello, and welcome to another segment of Open House here at Community Media, where we open our doors and bring people in from the community that are doing awesome things to make Adams and York County the best it can be. And today we have a special guest with us, and that is Elida Murphy. And Elida Murphy is with the Adams County Children Advocacy Center, and we're gonna find out what's going on there. But before we even get started, I want you to realize that child abuse is preventable.
Absolutely.
And it only takes 5% awareness and action to overcome child abuse. Okay?
Yeah. So at the Adams County Children's Advocacy Center, what we are doing is we're promoting something called the Keep Kids Safe 5% Challenge, because what experts believe is that when 5% of a community's adults know how to recognize, react, and respond to child abuse, that's the tipping point when we will begin to see child abuse go down in our community. So I can tell you that we do prevention education all throughout the year, but we're putting a very special focus on it for April as National Child Abuse Prevention Month. But also here in Adams County, our commissioners, our county commissioners, always recognize April as the county's Child Abuse Prevention Month. So you'll see a lot of different things that people can do to support the issue of child abuse prevention.
And the prevention of child abuse is everyone's.
Absolutely.
Everyone's job. And that is to recognize it and react and respond.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit more of what that means? I mean, it means what it says. How does a person recognize?
Right, so I can tell you that for years, Adams County CAC has done prevention education in the schools, and we've always been able to do a little bit of prevention education in the community for adults. But as you can imagine, our children, our school children, are much more amenable to sitting down and listening to our prevention educator, her name is Crystal Long, talk for 15 or 20 minutes about what they can do if they feel unsafe, what they can do, who can they talk to, who's a safe adult, how to talk about something with that safe adult if something's making you feel uncomfortable. And it's all about, for our kids, for our school kids, it's all about empowerment. But children shouldn't be responsible for keeping themselves safe, right? That's my job, that's your job, that's all the adults in our community. That's our responsibility to keep kids safe.
Family.
Absolutely. Neighborhoods. Organizations that are child serving, whether it's sports or religious organizations or you're just your informal family and friends network, all of us work together to help keep our kids safe.
The unfortunate thing is that someone who's being abused, a child that's being abused, there's a chance that they already know that person. And there's a chance that it could be someone within their family.
You're exactly right. So, you know, not too many statistics, but a few. So, to put a picture on what child abuse looks like in Adams County, last year, meaning 2023, there were 379 child lie reports that came into Adams County. We at the center, at the Children's Advocacy Center, we saw 342 of those referrals. And of those referrals, 217 kids came to our center. But on a national basis, what the statistics are is that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 17. So 1 in 3 or 1 in 6, that's a lot. And that's been for years. So many of us as adults are also survivors of that abuse. Now, to speak directly to your point, here at the center, 95% of the kids that we saw at the center last year knew their abuser.
That's a tough situation for many reasons. I mean, in an ideal world, as a child, you look up to your family, you look up to people you know, and you look at them for support, you look at them for guidance, you look at them for a clue of how to navigate this world. And then if their trust is violated, who do they go to?
Right. So often they will go to teachers, other trusted adults, That's why teachers and healthcare employees, or doctors, nurses, all of us who work with kids are mandated reporters, and that helps protect children. But I think that we also, just in our everyday lives, we have an opportunity to like pay attention to what's going on in your neighborhood. Pay attention to what's going on down the street from you, or at a meeting or whatever. And if you feel like a child is unsafe for some reason, I believe you have a moral obligation to make a report. And that's, though that goes right to our goal of helping to teach adults how to recognize what child abuse looks like, to react appropriately, and to respond and report it.
So what are some indicators that someone should be looking at, or if they see it, it should ring a bell that something's wrong?
So it can mean many different things for depending on situations. But I mean, clearly there are some times when you may see a child out in the community who by all apparentness is either neglected or perhaps even being abused. You know, we've all read in the paper about when children are found wandering in streets alone, or when they've been somehow in parking lots or whatever. But there's also the kids in neighborhoods that, you know, maybe there's someone down the street from you day after day that, why is this kid always outside? Or why is this child not dressed appropriately for winter? What's going on with that? Why is it that I always hear a lot of screaming and yelling and strange noises coming out of the house two doors down? There's a lot of that kind of physical abuse that happens in our community that we all probably on some level have recognized something's off, but because we feel like, oh, I can't prove it, we may not do anything about it. And my message to everyone out there is that you don't have to prove it. That's not your job. That's the job of our investigators, our law enforcement, and our child welfare workers. But you just, if you have a suspicion, better to report it than let a child go on being harmed.
So the human nature should be, I want to help, you know? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't want to get involved.
Correct.
You know? So it's getting to the point where you think of others over yourself, especially someone who needs an advocate, someone who is young, they need a person to be there for them. Mm-hmm. So how does a person react?
Well, react, I think, when you talk about, you've recognized, something's wrong with this. If you happen to have some sort of a ongoing knowledge or kind of just even a casual relationship with a kid, you can just say, hey, how are you? How's it going? And just if they trust you, they may say something. But you don't have to wait for that. You can even just call Childline, the 1-800 number, 1-800-932-0313, and say, two houses down from me, I feel like something's going on. I don't know exactly what, but I feel something's going on. Or if a child's in immediate danger, you just call 911, and trained responders will be able to do that. So once you do that react piece, that might be the original piece of it. But it's also, if you're talking to a child and a child has been brave enough to disclose something to you, then you have a kind of like, okay, now what do I do? Like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And the most important thing is to just remain calm. Just listen to what this child has to say. Don't ask them a lot of questions, because again, there will be people who are trained interviewers and trained investigators to be able to do that. Just gather the main facts so that you can pass that off to those trained investigators, and just assure the child. The best thing you can do is say, thank you so much for telling me this. You are so very brave. I'm going to work really hard to get some help for us. And that's the assurance that you want to give that child. You don't need to make promises, just that I'm going to work to get some help and see what we can do to help this.
And the help that the person should be given is not trying to be the solution.
Not unless you're trained to be the solution,
right?
Because child abuse is very complex, and I don't want to overstate that, but that's why we have a children's advocacy center. That's why we have something called the multidisciplinary team here in Adams County, because they're a group of trained professionals, actually almost 150 trained professionals in our MDIT who know how to do this work and do it well.
Recognize,
react,
and respond.
Respond.
Can we talk about respond a little
bit? Yeah, so your response is you've made that Childline report, right? You can do that anonymously if you choose, but you can also allow yourself to be identified, and that's very helpful to our investigators because then they can come out and ask you additional questions, maybe be able to shed more light on the situation. But again, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to reveal yourself. So if you're more comfortable doing a report anonymously, by all means, please do it. And again, I can't say this enough. If you feel like a child is in immediate danger, then the correct response is to dial 911.
And if everyone takes that approach, 5%?
5% of us know how to do that. Mm-hmm. That's when we should see the tipping point go down in child abuse.
So the Adams County Children Advocacy Center, mm-hmm. you know, we all need an advocate. And there's nothing as precious than our greatest asset, which is children. So you're the organization that is a nonprofit.
Correct.
But you're mandated for this. Child abuse. Mm-hmm. You're the organization.
Right, that's correct. In Adams County, there are 41 child advocacy centers across Pennsylvania. So we're working, and ideally our goal would be to have a child abuse center in every county or serving every county. So there's still some work to do there, but we support all of Adams County. We are nationally recognized. There's a group called the National Children's Alliance. There are more than 1,000 child advocacy centers internationally, about 900 of them in the United States, that we all meet the same standards of accreditation. We have been an accredited center since 2011, founded in 2006, accredited in 2011, and we continue to be accredited through the National Children's Alliance. So that's a very stringent sort of standards about how you do advocacy supports, whether it is how you do child and family services, how you do mental health programming, the ways in which you interact with the community, way in which you do prevention education.
So, Elida, you are the executive director. How long have you been the executive director?
This is my sixth year.
Okay. So the Child Advocacy Center, mm-hmm. you're involved in the investigation.
Right. We support those lead investigators. So that's law enforcement. There are 17 jurisdictions here just in Little Adams County. We also support joint investigations, which also involve child welfare. But we also bring in the coordination piece so that medical providers, mental health providers, victim advocates can all work together to help support the child and the family. And they do that through the interface that we create at the center.
So your center does not do the investigation?
No, we're not the ones who make that final decision about what has occurred. We're here to support the investigators who are responsible to do that.
And then as you're supporting the investigators, you're supporting and advocating for that child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our main role, is to serve as the advocate for the child and the family. As you can imagine, if you can put yourself in the shoes of a child who maybe just recently kind of talked about something that has been happening, and also their non-offending caregiver, the person who is their primary caregiver but is not the offender or the alleged offender, you can imagine how scary and uncertain and all of the unknowns that they're now going to enter into. So having the advocacy center, our child and family advocates, be able to walk with them through that and to help them through all of those unknowns and all of that fear and uncertainty is really important towards that healing journey. So our whole goal is to help support them all the way from the initial outcry of their allegation through to hope and healing at the end. And so it's advocacy, it's conducting those forensic interviews at our center. We can provide medical exams if those are necessary. But we also do a ton of other very important things, like psychoeducational groups for teens and adults. We provide caregivers with education. How do I deal with this? How do I understand what has been happening? We offer things for the community as well, speaker series to be able to kind of inform the community about different aspects of all of the challenges that we kind of bring to bear on the creation of child abuse in our community. So we could go on and on about all those kind of peripheral services, but at the end of the day, it's all about, can we help a child and a family feel safer and more secure in what's been happening in their lives?
And be able to thrive.
Absolutely.
Because
to heal.
There's a lot of guilt that comes with the person who's been abused, and then there's a tremendous amount of guilt with the family members surrounding that person who may not have been aware that it was occurring.
Or and just how deeply a family's kind of operational system is damaged and how long it will take, you know, for that family to feel recovered, that child to feel supported, and that family to kind of come out on the other side of this incidence of trauma. And it is definitely trauma. I can tell you that child abuse is horrific trauma, but a lot of the kids that come to our center have also experienced other kinds of trauma. So to put a number on that, we do something called the ACEs scoring system, and it's adverse childhood experiences is ACEs. And it is a scoring system from 1 to 10. And we just ask children, of this list of things, what have you experienced? We'd ask caregivers for the younger children. And often, there are multiple types of trauma that they've already experienced. So there's, there might be homelessness, or there might be food insecurity, or domestic violence in the home, or drug use in the home, divorce, or loss of a loved one. All of those things are adverse childhood experiences that have been proven through research to create long-term trauma, negative health outcomes, all of those really negative things. And the kids that we see at the center, our average ACEs score is over 5, meaning they've already experienced, before they come to the center, as many as 5 adverse childhood experiences. So it's layered trauma on top of layered trauma. And so the role of our advocates and our team is to help not just unpack that so that the investigative process can unfold, but also to help help kids overcome that trauma and move forward, and as you say, to thrive.
So, Elida, from the time the person comes into your center, you walk them through the immediate junk that they're experiencing, and the hope is that when they come out the other end, life is much better and they're able to find their full potential.
Correct.
But that journey is a long one.
It is a long one. How I like to say it is that child abuse is life defining, but it doesn't have to be life destructing. And that's really critical. For those of us in the world who are survivors of child abuse, I can tell you, you don't speak to, I've never met a survivor who said, oh gosh, I didn't really need any help. And most of the time, if not all of the time, a survivor say, I never want this to happen to anyone else. So that's a really important piece. And what I tell my team, and if they're watching this, they're gonna laugh because I say it all the time, is the most important thing we can do for any child walking in the doors of the center is to make sure that they feel cared about, that they are safe, that we are here for them, that we believe them, and that we're going to help them. Because that sense of assurance is the first step in that healing journey. And even though as adults, we might think it might be really hard and uncomfortable for a child to come in and meet with a forensic interviewer and talk about whatever they're going to talk about their experience. But most, if not all of our kids feel a sense of relief that they were able to do that and that we listen to them. That's the most important thing. Let's listen to our kids, right? And then we can go on. If their caregiver wants some more information, we've got resources, we've got education. Our advocates call and follow up in the months and weeks and months to follow. We have an on-site mental health therapy component, but we can also make referrals to other mental health providers. So it might be medical, and we will get you in touch for that. Sometimes it's simple as because of the situation that prompted this visit to the center, maybe a family needs to find a place to live, or maybe there's an economic concern. And so we're always trying to work through all of those pieces and help that family and that, and most especially that child.
So the Adams County Children's Advocate Center deals with prevention also, not just investigations.
That's exactly right. So we are committed to prevention. We will always be here to support child victims and their families. That's critical. But we also are equally invested into preventing child abuse from happening in the first place, right? We all want that, right? Why would we not want to prevent child abuse? So all throughout the year, we have a variety of child abuse prevention activities. Our prevention educator, Crystal Long, is out in the schools all school year. And to put a framework on that, across the county, every year she's doing child abuse prevention education for more than 4,500 kids. So that's a lot of kids. But again, kids are not responsible for protecting themselves. It's our job. And April is National Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. And so this is our third year of doing something called Go Blue, which is Go Blue for Child Abuse Prevention. And the tagline, if you will, kind of what I try to get people's attention with is, this is our community, these are our kids, and prevention is in our hands. And so there's a lot of different things that community members can do to help raise awareness of the issue of child abuse. As simple as we're blue on Fridays in April. Hang a garden flag. We have garden flags that you can put out in your garden. You can host an event for us, or we can come out to your organization and do a special training just for your organization. But for all of the people in the county, all the adults in the county, we are issuing a challenge. And that is that we're asking you as an adult in Adams County to participate in our Keep Kids Safe 5% Challenge. And what that really means is sign up to take a short video on how you can recognize, react, and respond to child abuse. Because we know if you know how to do that, that you're going to be able to help us to overcome child abuse in our community. That whole 5% tipping point, you will become one of the 5%.
So they sign up to see this video?
All you got to do is go out to our website and click the link. It is a YouTube. It's on YouTube, so it's all virtual. Nothing difficult about it. You can do it at 5 a.m. in the morning or 5 p.m. at night at your convenience. But it is a very short video available to you to learn about the recognition, reaction, response for child abuse.
So this is on the Advocacy Center's...
on our website.
Website. Mm-hmm. And... this is to help people become aware of child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Are you asking for any information from them that they've seen it and stuff like that?
It's completely anonymous. Because we posted on YouTube, we're just going to have a count. By all means, there are other activities that you could do. Like I mentioned, wear blue, maybe a garden flag. All of those sorts of things are available. You can do as much or as little, but we really, really want you to take the challenge to participate in that.
And there's other things you do throughout the year?
All throughout the year. So we're always doing prevention ed. We provide all of our services free to children and families, but all of our prevention ed, if you want us to come to your place of work or your organization and do prevention education, that's free as well. We do community outreach. We are out at a lot of the festivals. We do open houses at schools. All of those types of things, because the more we can do to raise awareness, the more we can, you know, help keep kids safe.
Our children are so precious.
Absolutely.
And they're our responsibility. And your organization helps those who are in a situation, they didn't ask to be in that situation, and you help them find a voice.
Yeah. That's the most important, I think. I think when you think about the future of our community, the future of Adams County, it takes safe kids. Right? And that's a little bit of a kind of a mindset we have. Safe kids and strong families equals a healthy community. So what are we doing? What are we willing as people who live in this community, like I do, what are we doing about that? How are we gonna protect the next generation?
How is our community gonna become all that it can be? And the answer I hear from you is think about others rather than just yourself.
Yeah, and even if you think about yourself, know you did something and you did something important. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a validation there too. At least for me, I feel like at the end of and sometimes the days are hard, right? We're dealing with a very painful issue, but to know that you help someone, to help either bring something to light or to help protect them, what better thing is there?
Prevention is very important, and prevention is as simple as being connected to the community. Mm-hmm. Get connected through your church. Get connected through volunteer for a nonprofit organization. Become part of the Scouts. Be aware of what's going mm-hmm. on in your community. For our community to be strong, I think before we had our interview started, you were saying how it's important that not only are we connected with our youth, but it's important that they feel as if they have the worth to be heard, that we give them value by listening to them. And other ways that people can connect with kids. Mm-hmm. Do you know any off the top of your head?
So I can tell you that because collaboration is really important to the CAC, we're linked with a lot of other youth-serving organizations. So you mentioned several. I can tell you that, you know, within our sphere, we do projects with Gettysburg College. We're doing an inner child. We call that inner child exploration series at Gettysburg College for adult survivors of child abuse. So because we know that child abuse is generational. So in the years that we've been here in Adams County doing this work, you know, 2006 there were children coming through, but now we're beginning to see those people returning as parents of children who have alleged to have been abused. So we see that generational cycle. So the more that we can help adults help overcome their trauma about child abuse, the better they are going to be prepared to help our future kids. There are other organizations. Collaborating for Youth is all about youth leadership and development. We do a lot of work with them, as well as Gettysburg College. We're at HAC. Again, doing that side of work. I do a lot of speaking at our community churches and other organizations. All of those things, anything that you can do along those lines. And maybe you're not really interested in directly being involved with a youth serving organization. I think there are a million and one ways that you can reach out and better our community. So you just have to find your niche, find what's important to you, and anything along those lines is going to strengthen it for the future.
Find what's close to your heart.
Precisely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the number of young individuals who need your help, is it increasing or?
So I think yes, but in different ways. So you would have expected that during COVID, when children weren't in school, and the reason I say that is because a lot of our school teachers are actually our mandated reporters. A lot of teachers are the people that children trust to make some sort of a disclosure about something that might be happening to them. So when schools were shut down or a lot of schools were virtual, those reports went down very briefly, but as soon as kind of the world opened back up again, those reports went up again and they've remained consistently high. One other thing I think people are surprised to hear is because a lot of people think when they think about child abuse, they think about sexual abuse. But I can tell you that over the course of the last 7-8 years, physical abuse, not just in Adams County, but across the state, physical abuse of our children is on the rise. And to kind of restate what I said before, More than 90% of physical abuse is alleged to have been caused by people that children know and trust. So family members, immediate family members, caregivers, daycare, childcare, all of those people that children, especially very young children, rely on, are the ones that are allegedly abusing them. So that's very concerning to us. And how do we impact that? I think the way we impact it is by A, educating adults. Like, you know, there are ways that when you're feeling a little overwhelmed, you can walk away, you know, and that's just one of the myriad ways that people can get the help they need to not become child abusers. But also at the same time, teaching children, even very young children, we teach preschoolers that it's okay to say, I don't like what you're doing and I want to tell somebody. It's okay to empower very young children so that if they don't feel safe, that they know they can go and talk to someone about it.
So you're giving them a voice at a very young age.
Very much so. Okay. And we want that for kids, right? Mm-hmm. We want them to be able to say what they think and they feel.
So if there's a child out there who needs to speak to someone, how do you advise them to go about that?
I would say definitely don't be afraid. Just go think about who you feel safe with and go talk to that person. And then adults, I'm going to say to you, be ready. Be ready to recognize what this child is telling you. They've overcome a lot of fear and a lot of potentially shame to tell you what might be happening to them. So, you know, do your part. Make sure that they know that you acknowledge that they're brave, that you care about them, that you're going to help them. And take it from there with the reaction appropriately and responding and recognizing and either make a report to Childline, or if it's an immediate risk to that child, call 911.
Did I fail to talk about anything that's important for your organization?
Well, I could go on all day. But, you know, we want to, you know, be cognizant of people's time and energy. So I can say, don't hesitate to reach out. Our website is full of resources, both for children, teens, and adults. All of the information is out there about Go Blue for April as Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. And I can't say this enough. It's our community. These are our kids. Prevention is in our hands. And I'm asking you personally to do your part. Pay attention to the kids around you and show them that you care about them and that you listen and build a brighter tomorrow for them.
Thank you so much, Eli.
We appreciate
for what you do and your group to help our greatest asset, our kids.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And the nice thing is that your organization does not work in isolation. You guys are very much involved in all the organizations that are youth-driven as a mission. And I think that's important, too.
Yeah.
So thanks for watching this segment of Open House here with the Adams County Children Advocacy Center with their executive director, Elida Murray.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to doing what we can here at Community Media to help you get your message out.
Perfect. Remember the 5% challenge. It's out on our website.
Yes. So get on their website and volunteer. A lot of times you could just be you, but give the money to people who are specialized in doing some of the actions. So you do take...
Yeah, we're a nonprofit, so we rely heavily on those private donations, community support, especially for our prevention and our mental health, those activities, because those are not as they're not as often funded by those major grants from state governments and that sort of thing. So we really, really rely on individuals in our community.
Cool, and you could be that person. So go to the Adams County Children Advocacy Center's website and find out what's going on and be generous. Okay, so till we are able to sit down and talk to the next wonderful person, you be kind, be healthy, and thanks for watching this.